Merry Christmas to all of you. Thanks for coming today. We're glad that you're here. Whether this is your very first time, and I've met a few folks that this is their first time coming to Spirit Life Church, or whether you've been a part of Spirit Life Church your whole life, thanks for choosing to celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us on this Sunday before Christmas. We hope that you enjoy all the wonderful things that we've got prepared for you. I tested the hot chocolate. I can vouch for it. It's good, so make sure you get your cup before you leave. I got a lot of kids that are here today. Want to make sure that they get a chance to go by Santa's Village, get out and ride on the train. All of those things are wonderful, but we want to focus on what really matters today, and that's the birth of the King, the one who was born so that we could have eternal life. You've seen some videos this morning about Christmas memories. I know when the staff, we were planning today months ago, and we started talking about what will our theme be, and we decided to go with that theme of Christmas memories, because here's what I know that happens. As you saw in the video, it's just all too easy to get in the hustle and the busyness and the hectic nature of this season of the year, with all of the things that are pulling on you. In fact, the truth of the matter is you don't even have to be at Christmas time to feel the pull of life and the busyness and the stress and the worry and the care and all of the frustrations that come. And sometimes in the midst of all of that, we lose sight of what really matters. We lose sight of what's really important. And so it's important for us to go back and to remember. You know, when I think about Christmas memories, I remember childhood memories like many of you. I remember waking up on Christmas morning, whatever day it was. And I was one of those ones, you know, I could sleep in late every other day of the year. But at Christmas, you know, about 2 a.m., you're awake, right? I remember those times. I remember going to family, to my granny's house for lunch and to my grandma's house for supper. The family would be there, aunts and uncles and all of my cousins. Sometimes it was the only time in the whole year that I got to see them. It was at Christmas. I remember those things. You probably have memories like that as well. But there's another memory that's really important to me, and it's a memory of my dad with his Bible. Sorry. Didn't expect that to come at this moment. But, you know, you remember, and those memories flood back, don't they? And they bring back the emotion. It's not just the memory, but it's the emotion that you feel as well. And I can remember him with his Bible reading to us the Christmas story, whether it was from Matthew or from Luke. But it was to drive home to us what Christmas really is all about. It's not all about the tree and the presents and the gifts and family and food and all that. It's about the Savior that has been born so that we can have eternal life. You know, the Christmas story, that tradition is one that we've passed down to our kids and now to our grandkids. And maybe you have those same kind of memories and those same kind of traditions. But, you know, there's something powerful about the Christmas story. There's something powerful about reading that narrative of the birth of Jesus. There's a wonder. There's an awe. There's an excitement about it. And it just never grows old. Christmas memories, because sometimes we got to go back and remind ourselves about what's really important. Sometimes we got to get recentered, get refocused on what really is important. And so I believe that God allows us to have these reminders, these memories, so that we'll come back to what's important. You know, talking about Christmas memories, we've seen some videos. I've shared a few of my own, but wouldn't it be really cool if we'd have been able to bring back some of those original characters from Christmas and hear them tell of their Christmas memory? Of course, you'd want to hear from Mary. I don't know what her favorite part of Christmas would be. Would it be that first angelic visitation? Would it be that moment when she realizes that I'm a virgin, but I'm going to give birth to the Son of God? And all the thoughts and the feelings and emotions that must have gone along with that. Or maybe she remembered the trip to Bethlehem. Every step of that donkey, every bounce along the way. Or maybe it's the smells and the sounds of the stable. But most of all, the sound of the first time she heard the cry of little baby Jesus as she wraps him in the swaddling clothes and lays him in the manger. We'd want to hear from Joseph as well. Joseph, what do you remember about Christmas? What was your favorite part? Maybe he would tell us about the dream that he had and the angel that visited him to tell him not to be afraid to take Mary to be his wife. That the child that was within her was born of God, that he was the Son of God. Maybe he would tell us all of the memories. You know, maybe he remembered the trip to Bethlehem. Not necessarily every footstep of the donkey like Mary might have felt it, but as they talked along the way, you know how a trip is. Sometimes you're talking, and then there are those times where there's just silence, and you're lost in your thoughts. Maybe Joseph would remember some of those thoughts that he had as he's making his way to Bethlehem, wondering, what is this going to be like when my child, who's not really my child, but he's my child, when he's born, what is this going to all mean? How's this going to look? We would want to hear from the wise men, of course. What was it like? What was your favorite Christmas? Is it that night that you first saw this new light in the skies and realized that there's a star there that's drawing you and trying to figure out what it really means? And maybe it would be that moment when you realize that that star means that a king has been born, the king of the Jews. Maybe they would remember when they were trying to decide about the gifts that they were going to bring. The significance of the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. Maybe their fondest Christmas memory would be what it was like to walk into that room, that house where the young child lay, and to realize that this small infant is really the Son of God. And the holiness of that moment and the glory of God that they sensed as they fell to their knees and worshiped Him. Christmas memories. I want to help you today to push back all of the busyness and all of the things that in the big picture of life really are mostly insignificant. I want to share with you three words today that I want to help you to remember, help you to recenter, help you to refocus on what Christmas really is all about. And the first word that I want you to focus on and to remember is the word revelation, that Christmas is a story of revelation. Revelation, to be revealed. It indicates that there was a time where something was hidden, when something was in secret, when something was unknown and maybe even unknowable. But the lid was taken off the box. The curtain is pulled back. We're given a glimpse and we're able to see what we could not see. We're able to know what we could not know. And that's really the essence of Christmas. It's about revelation. It's about the fact that God revealed Himself to us in a way that we could have never known Him before. Throughout the centuries, the Jews of the Old Testament, they had a knowledge of God, but they didn't really know Him. They knew a bit about His nature and character, but they didn't fully understand Him. They did not know this God who wanted to walk with us. They did not know this God who wanted to have fellowship with us, who wanted to have a personal relationship with us. They didn't know about a God who was not just vengeful and powerful, but a God full of grace and mercy and love. And there was no way that they could know, except that God chose to reveal Himself to us. See, if we were to put all of our collective wisdom together, if all of humanity and all of the centuries was able to all come together in one mass effort to try to figure out God, to know God, we could never do it. And God knew that, and so He chose to reveal Himself to us as that baby born in Bethlehem's manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was the Son of God. John put it this way in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That the Word was made flesh, that He was manifest in our presence, that He was revealed to us so that we might truly know Him. The story of Christmas is the story of revelation. It's the only way that Mary could have understood her role in God's plan. Remember Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God." It was a revelation by the word of the angel. That first Christmas, it was by revelation that Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, would look at her and say, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." It was by revelation that the shepherds would hear the angel's story about the Savior that had been born and would go and find him. These are all the revelations. It's God saying, "Let me show you, let me tell you, let me meet you, let me have a relationship with you." It was by revelation that Peter, some 30 years later, would say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter would say, "You're right. You got it right, but not out of your own intellect. It was not flesh and blood that revealed that to you, Peter. It was my Father in heaven." See, Christmas is about revelation, and God's continuing to reveal Himself to us. And if you're here today and you're a born-again child of God, in fact, if you're here today and you're a born-again child of God, let me just hear it from you. Some kind of a hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yeah. You can clap and cheer today, not because you figured it out on your own. It's because God revealed Himself to you. So the first word that I want you to remember about Christmas is this: Christmas is a story of revelation. There's another word that I think is important, and that is I want you to remember that Christmas is a story of salvation. God revealed Himself to us so that we might be saved. Matthew 1:21, the angel says to Joseph, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." It was the message that the angels declared, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord." Christmas is about salvation. That's the message of Christmas. It's that God wants us to be saved, to be born again, to have eternal, everlasting life. It's not a stretch to see the shadow of the cross laying over the manger where the young child was placed. It's not a stretch to somehow try to connect Bethlehem to Calvary. In fact, it would be a great mistake not to fail to see the real purpose behind the birth of the Son of God was that He was born to die so that we could have eternal life. He was born to save us from our sins. There's a scripture in Hebrews that we don't quote it. I've never memorized it. Probably nobody here has either. But it really carries the essence of the joining together, the understanding of the birth and the death of Jesus, all being one part of the plan of God. Listen to what the writer of the Hebrews says. He says in Hebrews 2:14, "Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil who had the power of death. He became the human being. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we not only beheld His glory, but we also saw Him as He hung upon a cross and died there to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus was born to die as our substitute in our place so that we might live. Born to save the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. And so we remember that the story of Christmas is about revelation. The story of Christmas is about salvation. And the story of Christmas is about, well, I'm going to call it exaltation just so that it rhymes. But it's about joy. It's about the joy that comes at Christmas. It is a story of rejoicing. Mary says, after she hears that announcement from the angel, she says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The wise men, it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. The angels declared, "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And today we still have every reason to rejoice. I know I live in the real world too. And not every day is hunky-dory, right? Life has its ups and its downs. It has its moments of wonder and splendor and awe, and we're happy and we celebrate. And yet Christmas also, or life also, is filled with some of the most difficult moments in the greatest disappointments. And so it would be living in some kind of fairy tale world to act like everything's always great. But here's what I know today. And if you're in one of those places today where life hasn't gone the way you had hoped that it would go, I want to tell you, there is hope today in Jesus Christ. There's reason to rejoice today in the midst of whatever you're going through, whatever is happening in your life. I want to tell you today, there's reason to rejoice. You see, Joseph and Mary, they were dealing with life, but there was reason to rejoice. Those shepherds out keeping watch over the flock by night, they were dealing with life, but there was reason to rejoice. Those wise men, they were going through all the stuff of life, but there was reason to rejoice. And whatever you're going through today, I want to tell you, there's reason to rejoice. Because God loved you so much that He sent His Son for you to die on a cross. He was born to die so that you might live, so that we could know the joy of the Lord, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, the joy to the world. The Lord has come. We rejoice today that a Savior has been born, but as born-again believers, we can rejoice that we have been born again. Can you rejoice in that today? So yeah, it'd be really easy to get sidetracked with all the stuff that's going on in your life. But I want to challenge you, in the midst of everything that you do over this next week or two, would you take some time and draw off to the side? Get along with God and remember those three words. It's all about the revelation of God so that we might know Him, not just some mean, big, vindictive judge in the sky, but we can know Him as a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. He's revealed Himself to us. Let Him reveal Himself fresh to you. Would you focus on that word salvation and recognize that He was born so that you could live? And if you've not made the decision to receive Christ into your life, oh, my encouragement to you is, would you find Him? Would you kneel like the wise men did before Him? Would you yield your life to Him and let Him give you that eternal life that He came to bring? And no matter what's going on in your life, would you focus on that word, rejoicing? Would you find the joy? I don't know, again, what you may struggle with, what you may be facing, but would you find the joy that he came to bring to you. I want to ask Caleb, he's going to come and join me. He's got some great news that he's going to share with us, but I want to ask you, would you just bow your head and join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for reminding us that we need to remember.
Yes.
Lord, that when it would be so easy to get distracted and forget what's truly important, that you've given us these reminders that bring us back to center, that bring us back to what really matters. Lord, help us to rejoice that God was made flesh, manifest, revealed to us, and his plan of salvation, that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that the Jesus of Bethlehem would rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
yes,
in our lives, in our families, this Christmas. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Jesus' name. Father, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would begin to speak to every heart in here. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would rest on every person under the sound of my voice. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you will do what only you can do, and that is draw them to the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Whether we are on the side of a committed life with Christ, or maybe we are considering making that commitment to you, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd make this hope real. Make this joy real. Make this peace that is found in Jesus real to us, present with us, in the name of your Son. And still with every eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this gospel, to this very good news, that there is forgiveness for you, that there's healing and hope, there's eternal security for you, that if you commit your life to Jesus, you can be free and full of joy in this life. You can be free no matter what. You can have peace in this life. But in the next, you can have eternal joy and eternal peace. And you can stand before the one and only true God in confidence that all your sins are forgiven and that you are committed to him and enter his eternal joy. And if that's you today that you're saying, I want this confidence, I'd encourage you to just wave your hand at me. I'd love to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there any other? Hallelujah. I see that hand. I see it. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, it's very simple. You just commit your life to him. Let me help you pray. Church, let's pray it with him. Say, Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus because you loved me, because you loved the world. I thank you that by his death, he paid the penalties for my sins that I might be forgiven, washed clean. And so right now, in faith in his work, I ask you to forgive me, have mercy on me, and give me eternal life. I commit myself to you from this day forward. Teach me your ways. Help me to serve you with every word and every deed from on now. in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to the family. Come on, let's rejoice. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is really doing something, and we would love to help you if you've given your life to Jesus today, and we would love to help you learn what it is to be committed to Him and to learn His ways. And so we'd love to meet with you right at the end of this service,